welcome back. We're at the top of the new hour, and we've got our guest with us, a Mr. Joseph Rory of Republic versus Democracy. How are you this morning, Joseph?
Doing fine. How are y'all doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Doing great. Yeah, we've been talking about this, I've been talking about this fraudulent money system, and I wanted to get people back to the fundamentals of how our system changed through the 14th Amendment and how, you know, all this was done. And so the first question I want to ask you, Joseph, you know, as poignantly as you can put it, I want to ask you, why, in your opinion, was the Civil War fought?
States' rights.
States' rights. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Well, the arguments of the between the states had been somewhat minimal, but was always there even from the beginning. They even argued over where the White House would be at. But it was pretty clear there was a little bit of animosity between the southern states and the northern, which at the time pretty much all you had was northern and southern states. But it wasn't until the tariff acts that came out in the 30s where the arguments became very more as one state, which was South Carolina, stated that these were fighting words because they had come up with trying to control the South because the industry was up in the northern states. And they were trying to pass laws that you could not buy your raw material from other countries, but you had to buy them from the northern states and had it there. And in return for that law, they had pretty much overcharged the southern states, and their argument was that we could even go across the ocean, get that material, and pay the full expenses of going all the way out over there and coming back cheaper than getting it from our so-called brethren states. But the nullification arguments become one of the biggest arguments of the time, in which Daniel Webster and Haynes had made their arguments in the Congress. And in this case, you know, Webster had pretty much convinced everybody in the Congress that we had started a national form of government and didn't have the separate constitutional powers of each state as believed. So this is basically where it really got out of hand. And of course, you know, they use the term slavery for just another point to aggravate the argument. And, you know, it's really irrelevant whether slavery is a issue of right, whether you have a right to have a slave or not, or whether you have a right to have a jelly bean or not is really irrelevant. The question is was the power inside the state to make that decision, or was that in the Congress? And of course, obviously, even an amateur constitutionalist could find that it was in the state.
And I have to agree with you there. And you know, it seems strange to me that, you know, everyone's been taught that the southern states, when they seceded, you know, were in rebellion. And of course, I've just come to understand that this is not the case at all. So when we come back from this next word from our sponsor here, we have to go back for a break from our sponsor, Joseph. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about state power and nullification. And did the states have the right to break the contract and secede from the Union? You're listening to Positively Unconstitutional.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendivite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and 5 other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendivite.
Extendivite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendivite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-340-4634.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-340-4634. That's 1-800-340-4634.
Welcome back to Positively Unconstitutional. And I want to welcome our guest back, Mr. Joseph Rory. You can visit his website at www.republicversusdemocracy.org. And what you're going to find there is you're going to find a collection of very rare books on CD, information about the 14th Amendment, pre-Civil War information, constitutional books, Civil War debates, and so on and so forth. Please, you know, go out there and educate yourself. Really, that's what my show is all about. Take responsibility for yourself. Educate yourself. Learn how to take care of yourself from a healthcare standpoint. Learn how to be financially responsible, and so on and so forth. Joseph, I want to bring you back in. You mentioned something about states' rights and tariffs. And it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the North was trying to put a tariff on all land and persons in the South?
There were several ideas that, you know, they had putting the South, actually, as they even made proclamations among their own state, there's evidence and historical documents you can find where they felt that the North was actually crushing them, as the term was used, crushing their economics. And so this was becoming such a problem that the problem was just not going to be argued anymore. This is where your bandwagon for sympathy came in. And, of course, obviously there was already some bad feelings about slavery, and it was a growing issue that maybe this thing ought to get out of the way and we should have such a thing, and many of the states were getting away from it, and et cetera. So, you know, it was a sympathy issue to help the northern side feel like they're here to protect something when, you know, it's irrelevant. If you have the power to take something away from somebody, it doesn't matter whether it's something that you feel is moral or immoral. It's like jelly beans. You either got a right to have jelly beans or you don't. And if a state argues that with them and a handful of other states can take your jelly beans away from you, then, you know, it's about power. It's not about the jelly beans. It's like the slavery, for instance. It's not about slavery. It's about the power.
It's just like when you asked your dad for something when you were a kid, and your dad said, no, you don't need that. Even doesn't matter how bad you wanted it. It was a matter of power. And he was your father, and he effectively owns you, and he tells you what to do, and he makes a decision on how to spend your money. And this is exactly the situation that the entire population of the United States is in, that the entire Congress is your parent, and they're going to make decisions for what's best for you, and so on and so forth. They're going to spend your money and send you the bill.
And this is basically what they actually tried to twist around when, if the truth be understood, it's the states that was the parents, not the federal government. And, of course, as far as the right to secede, I think...
Well, the people of the state were the parent. The people of the state are the de jure, the lawful political body in the United States. So you're right. The states... through the people of the states. So the people of the states, you know, kind of drove the government of the state, and then the state was the parent of the federal government. But you're right, the whole thing has been flipped upside down now, and the United States has taken all the power.
Yeah, they basically, by fraud, of course, not lawfully done. This is not a lawful change of government or form. This was done by fraud alongside military power that forced a new form of government upon the people and the state, and, of course, argued hard those that you could secede, that there was no clause for it. And what they don't want to remind people, though, that back in 1814, three northern states were about to secede. And nobody argued, nor was they planning on arguing, whether it was a right or not, because it was too fresh after the time that we seceded from England. The United States is actually born from secession. If it wasn't for secession, the United States wouldn't be here. And they are offspring of secession.
So when Abraham Lincoln, you know, declared the southern states rebels, and, you know, demanded that he keep the Union together. What's your opinion of him? Was he the first American dictator?
Well, I've always looked at him as, you know, basically worse than a dictator. But he had an evil in him that was just so planted in there that there was not going to be anything that we could expect good out of him.
The only thing I can see that Lincoln did that was good was to issue the greenbacks, interest-free sovereign money of the United States. I wish we'd do that again and get rid of this Federal Reserve Bank. But besides that, it seems to me that he was the greatest criminal in American history as a president.
Well, he did come in with all the accusations. You got to recall that the war was going on already. There was some secessions going on. There was more to come in. And, of course, his wordings like rebel, rebellion states, et cetera, was definitely purposely a misuse of the term. And the southern states that had already seceded had made clear that their actions were secession, not a form of rebellion, not a form of being resistance, nor were they attacking or forcing themselves upon the United States.
Right. And this is exactly what I'm suggesting, that, you know, if you want to solve the problem here in the United States, is that you become a state national. Effectively, you as an individual secede from the United States and go back and live in the Republic of the individual states, the countries of the individual states.
Well, you got to keep in mind now that the fraud that was behind every bit of this. As far as that's concerned, the Federal Reserve notes, all of this is fraud. If that's fraud, then so is the debt. That's fraud. So it's all phantom, and nobody under the true common law owes a penny to anybody out there. If the United States wanted to wake up, go back to the Republic, and denounce all of their sins, because they're going to have to denounce it and walk away from it, it's a matter of fraud. And even under the old law, common law of the law of nations, and the understood common law of debt, all this was fraud, so nobody owes anything. I don't owe anything, and neither does this country. This is all set up by fraud, and those that are perpetrating it, such as the bankers. It's just a fraud that as long as they can keep it going, then, of course, they can keep you working, and that's what it's about.
Well, and as I pointed out, you know, to one of the previous caller, if you don't, you know, call it out as a fraud, it's not fraud. You know what I mean? If you don't stand up for your rights.
It's not recognized as a fraud, but, you know, my defense on anything is that it's a fraud. That if you could prove somehow that I participated in any form, whether it's major or minor, you're going to only be able to prove that I did it under fraud. I sure didn't know better. Now that I know better, you're not getting my participation. And if you have a record like that, there's not a lot of anything that true common law can get you, say, in a court, because of that. Because as long as you're...
Well, again, my point is the case of Paddleford Fay versus the alderman of Savannah, Georgia. The Supreme Court decides there is no common law in the United States, in the federal zone. And so no person in the United States is subject to the common law. They're subject to all the jurisdiction of the United States and to all the needful rules and regulations that the Congress makes according to Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2 to manage its other property, you and I.
Well, that, you know, particular case that came after the Virginia versus Conn case. And the problem I think we have with the common law is that it is definitely for sure recognized inside the separate states, and that it prevails over whatever the federal government and its so-called laws, which are bound only to themselves. The federal jurisdiction is a law within itself that should not have ever reached inside the states and did particular regulations over the separate people. This is where this 14th Amendment idea came in, was to sort of bring people into their fold under their so-called citizenship and under their so-called membership, basically, is another way to put it, to be part of what we're doing. And, of course, this is what caused the taxation to go into the directions that it did. And a lot of arguments against the taxation need to just go back before the war, not worry about what was said after the war, because these are usually all padded cases where they're stating things after the war, and they're sort of supporting principles and jurisprudence that developed from the so-called 14th Amendment that never ratified.
And again, it doesn't, you know, everyone wants to use that defense that the 14th Amendment wasn't ratified, and it wasn't properly ratified. You know, the Congress, the de jure Congresses of the southern states all voted it down. And so the northern states, again, Congress redeclared the war, threw out all the Congresses of the southern states, replaced them with a rump Congress, and then basically at the point of the gun, you know, said that they went ahead and ratified them. But that doesn't matter. That's beside the point. The point is here, this is private international law, and when you acquiesce, when you don't declare the fraud, when you don't go against the fraud, then you're sucked in under a presumption of law, and you become subject to the United States, and you become a
system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to Positively Unconstitutional. And I again want to encourage everyone to go out and check out republicversusdemocracy.org. We're visiting with Mr. Joseph Rory, a Civil War historian, and that's his site. You can go there. I mean, there is just a treasure trove of old books, fairy tales. There's a law school series that they have. Just a ton of excellent information and historic information that can really kind of show you a flavor of the argument that was going on. And that's where I want to go back with you, Joseph. Well, you mentioned before President Lincoln misused the word rebel. Would you consider that to be propaganda?
To your history of dictionaries, you'll also find that the 1864 Webster's Dictionary made the falsified definitions of several key governmental terms, such as federal, was automatically falsified into a new meaning. The word state, the word constitution, the word union, the word Congress, the word in pluribus unum even. All of these were distorted and literally falsified, and in some cases totally reversed in meaning, such as the word federal. In 1864, your 1863 edition, all the way back to the beginning of Webster's original, including further back to the English edition, which is Samuel Johnson, Boggs, Walker Phillips, Nathan Phillips, Kersey, you name the lexicographer, and go to these same words, the universal meaning, were accepted with no concept whatsoever that they possibly meant anything different than what they meant or was falsified into in 1864. So wordplay begins a big major force when needing to win an argument. Of course, you put connotated meanings behind your argument. This is what Lincoln used the word rebellion, when there's nobody in rebellion, when you're writing up simple papers that plainly states we're seceding, which, you know, earlier, just back in 1814, there was three northern states everybody understood was planning on seceding. Not one person attempted to argue with them that you can't do that, if that's not provided in the Constitution. Well, here's the problem with that one, is the very fact that it is not mentioned in the Constitution as far as the word secession. That means, according to the 10th Amendment, that particular subject matter is reserved to the states. Only the states can operate and make decisions according to secession. It's not a congressional power to decide that anyway. It would be clearly, strictly a state issue for them to decide among the states whether that can happen or not.
Everything that's not mentioned is reserved to the states or unto the people, isn't it?
That's right. So when you look at the Constitution, if you find those words or phrases not there, then it's a state issue. It's something that the states did. It's a reserved subject for the states to deal with. Clear enough.
And, you know, when I started this show, you know, over a year ago, one of the first things I talked about was a speech by the founder of the John Birch Society, in which he said that, you know, all the states had already been dismantled, and or all the counties in all the states had been dismantled, and that the communist agenda was to dismantle all the states and make them meaningless, you know, and give all the power to the huge, you know, federal government, and to grow that federal government and to spend and spend and spend all Americans into oblivion, you know, until they made us paupers. It's exactly what we're doing.
That's correct.
And the Civil War played a big part in this, and that's why, you know, I'm so interested to hear, you know, your opinion, Joseph, and how, you know, all this started. And why don't you talk a little bit about the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th, the Reconstruction Amendments. Tell people how these affect us, really.
You sort of have to take everything back to when the South began their secession, and not all the states had done it yet. But Buchanan wrote the Attorney General to ask, could the United States invade the southern states that supposedly have seceded and enforce the United States laws on them? The Attorney General, which was Sullivan Black at the time, which is the official opinion of the United States, plainly told Buchanan, no, you do not have power to go in there and force the powers of the United States upon them. You cannot displace their powers. If you do it, you will be doing it illegal. So we find that the military power, once they come in, they did exactly everything against what the official opinion of the United States was. That's the purpose of the Attorney General, as listed in the Judiciary Act of 1789. And he had plainly told them no, that unless you involve the court, you can't do it. You got to give a, if you think they've sinned or corrupted or have a crime in their life, you have to take it before the court and have a petition.
And there you have it. With that said, Joseph, we have to go back to break here. You're listening to Positively Unconstitutional on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're speaking with Joseph Rory of RepublicVersusDemocracy.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Welcome back to Positively Unconstitutional, and we're visiting with Civil War historian Mr. Joseph Rory today. And Joseph, I wanted to read a quick quote here. Something that was written by President Andrew Johnson when he was confronted with passing into law the 14th Amendment. And he says in his, he was going to veto the act, the 14th Amendment. He says, "The United States are bound to guarantee to each state a republican form of government. Can it be pretended that this obligation is not palpably broken if we carry out a measure like this, which wipes away every vestige of republican government in 10 states and puts the life, property, liberty, and honor of all the people in each of them under the domination of a single person clothed with unlimited authority. Here is a bill of attainder against 9 million people all at once. It is based upon an accusation so vague as to be scarcely intelligible and found to be true upon no credible evidence. Not one of the 9 million was heard in his own defense. The representatives of the doomed parties were excluded from all participation in the trial. The conviction is to be followed by the most ignominious punishment ever inflicted on large masses of men. It disenfranchises them by hundreds of thousands and degrades them all, even those who are admitted to be guiltless, from the rank of free men to the condition of slaves, President Andrew Johnson." Joseph, go ahead. Can you expand on that a little bit for us?
Well, Johnson, you know, sort of a, he's hard to really figure out other than he had some weaknesses, that he was strong in lecture and strong in speech. And, you know, he definitely was strong with constitutional issues. I think Johnson if it wasn't for the powers already too much in control, might have reached the people in a better way, where lectures and speeches like this and his veto could have made more impact. It's definitely an honest evaluation of what was going down. And so if you look at the fact that they were already ready to wipe him out over the Stanton deal, and he had so much already against him, and of course public media always plays into this, and these things are basically discovered after everything is over. People get into find these statements and these documented treasures, actually, that these words were said in the way they were. Johnson stood up against the Civil Rights Act of 1866 as well. And this was what this was all about, the Civil Rights Act of 1866. And you had a new set of people in the offices that the federal Congress had went in there and took generals in there and actually took out of office the state legislatures, their governors, and then, of course, attempt an amendment through the same power. It's sort of like trying to put two evils through. One's supposed to justify the other one, and if you get them both justified, it must be right.
Two wrongs to make a right, huh?
Yeah, and this was some kind of a trick of theirs at the time. They were using words. As I pointed out earlier, even in 1864, there was already a lexicographer, that a well-known established one at that, that their dictionary would reflect the future lessons to our children. And so even to this day, when you think of the word federal, you think of the word in terms of national. But before the 1864 dictionary, like in the 63 and back, the word federal was synonymous to the word confederate and absolutely meant a confederation. And so Congress was a delegate from a country or a nation. That's what a Congress was. But after the war, you know, it was a representative of the nation, which is a wholly different term and meaning. And so, you know, you have situations where we've been played with by so many directions. The arrows are coming and been shot from us from all sides and angles, from wordplay, actual physical play, to the courts claiming that they have a particular opinion on it as well. And these opinions, by the time you get them together with the so-called new statute, somehow or another, we're supposed to believe the final outcome to still be true. And so when you talk about, even after a war has been fought, you've got a defeated side, you've got them in poverty, you've got them totally suffering from trying to even recover, and then you're wanting to, and you've got the northern side as well that was still beat up in many ways, but was still had their animosity strong against those mean old southern people that shot their brother, etc. It's not a time at all to even consider putting up amendments for our Constitution. It's you don't even bring that up. With the evil of doing that by itself was evil enough to start.
Well, and that's the reason that the that's the reason that the war was fought. I want to ask you a question now, and kind of leading a little bit different direction here. About, you mentioned the Civil Rights Act, and can you talk a little bit about the 48ers?
Well, the 48ers actually came over from Germany under the so-called disguise that they were. They fled because of the problems over there, but they come over here, they actually start the Republican Party. The Republican Party was actually invented by the 48ers. They formed real heavy in Missouri. There was a handful of them scattered here and there, but mainly in Missouri. And in New York, there was a big group. And, of course, Paul Schultz was already hanging around Lincoln and being head of state, being in all kinds of positions, he finally become a senator. All in less than 12 years from being over from Germany. It was Paul Schultz that kept enforcing the Reconstruction Act, even when the reports was coming that the Southern people are not doing what you're hearing. Grant even reported that, no, they're settled down there. There's no big deal going on. You hear of a bad thing here and there, or a bad statement, or maybe a killing. It's like anywhere else. But it was Schultz that kept hollering, no, we've got to go down there and straighten them out. We have got to get the Reconstruction Act going. And it was him, out of the 48ers, that was already set real strong in the upper offices up there and been the main flow.
And this is a person that probably, you know, less than 1% of any Americans ever heard of in American history. I have certainly never even heard his name before you've mentioned it right now, Paul Schultz.
Paul Schultz.
It means nothing to me.
Yeah, well, now I don't know what's on the Google, but, you know, surely someone's got something out about him, but I've got some of his work as well. I mean, this is getting these old books, Civil War, pre-Civil War, post-Civil War, et cetera. You're going to come across these things, these speeches, and who they were, and how they got where they got, and their origin. And, of course, Paul Schultz, if you'll, you should be able to Google him. His name's popular enough, at least somebody knows about him. But he did instigate, even after there was an attempt to just be calm about this thing, let's just forget what went down, and let's just go slowly through this thing. It was Schultz that kept insisting upon that, and causing all these congressional hearings to bring forth these so-called witnesses that are supposed to testify before Congress that this is what's going on here, they're all in rebellion here, and they're all doing this here. And nobody was letting everybody know that the carpetbaggers were actually going down there destroying, killing, still in the mess of destroying people, burning their fields, taking over their farms, leaving them without anything while they took any possible value. And of course it was all with smiles and under the so-called federal powers granted to them. And if you look at some of your southern magnates to this day, all these giant plantation owners that were taken from them then, a lot of your carpetbaggers were stealing from the farmers and the households, and only extended back 10% or less to the federal government while they got rich down here and set up their big-time industries down here.
All is not as it seems, is it? It just, you know, what we're taught in school, you know, again, it's like, you know, if someone taught you, you know, a fork is a spoon and a spoon is a fork, and every time you asked for a fork, you couldn't understand why you got a spoon. And, you know, everything in your mind is reversed. You know, oh, a republic is a democracy. A democracy is a republic. And really, you know, we talked about, you know, the whole financial system in a show a couple of weeks ago with a fellow, David Vrabel. And, you know, I think he really points out how, you know, the money powers have just absolutely run over the government. And now the government basically is a bunch of shills and salesmen for the money powers. And, you know, that, you know, we've been entrapped into this debt slavery system that was created through the Reconstruction Amendments at the end of the Civil War. So, I mean, it's just fascinating, you know, if you read some of this stuff of how they're plotting, you know, how the attorneys are plotting. And I think I read something on your site about some proposed amendment to the Constitution that would have done everything that's kind of happened to the Constitution now. Can you comment on that? You know
I'm
what I'm talking
sure
about?
What you're talking about. I've got a lot of things I've said. Is it something to do with, well, I don't know for sure. If you can
it's one of the books. It's one of the books on your site, and yeah. I read part of it the other day, and it says that this was a proposed amendment to the Constitution. And, you know, you would never believe that, you know, it was possible that people would be talking about this. But as you look at it today, and I can't remember the name of the book, is any of this ringing a bell with you?
It's beginning to, yeah. I just need to get one more hit or two out of it. You know, a lot of times I make my notes and my studies why I'm on it and then move on. And this is probably a negative with me, is that it's usually an old note and I'm on to other things.
It's the 1815 Constitution, which overthrows the 1789 Constitution.
The what?
It says you won't believe what you read in this Constitution, even when you've read it over 100 times. The 1815.
Oh, okay, that would have been the amendment of 1815, I believe, was an attempt at an amendment that has such. You know, it had such, you know, that particular amendment cannot be traced. The fact that the book exists is proof it was there. That
right.
book is very rare, and I would think that I'm the only one with it. I've not seen another copy out there. If it wasn't for the fact that I didn't have the book in my hand, I would be very doubtful that this existed. But it was an amendment to the Constitution that is extremely an attempt to just change the entirety of it. And when you look at it, some of it has actually came to pass. You wonder if this is not that hidden Constitution that some people talk about, that they sort of went off on another one, and that this was it because it's, you know, one of its boundaries where it wanted to take on all the way down to the equator, all the way up to the other side of Canada. There were some principles mentioned in it that it's called the Columbia Union, and it's I've not been able to put the connected dots to it because it's the only thing I have. It's not like I can find an attachment in the Congressional Globes or anywhere to relate it. And so the only thing I can tell you is that if a person wants to read that, they'll have to just get the CD on it. And I like to also remind people that Republic versus Democracy .org, it's spelled with a VS, and that's the whole word versus. These books are, you know, self-explanatory in the sense that you don't have to hear me tell you these things. You can read it for yourself. And this is what they were actually teaching in the school. This was exactly what they said the Constitution meant in those days. And these are the kind of things that if you really want to be a true constitutionalist, they go back before the war, before the lies and the frauds came in to help gear the changes of thought and principle. Go before the war. And I'm not saying you'll get a perfect, understanding, because there was still some debates and meetings back then. But it sure not going to be as contaminated as it is today, whereas everybody's got civil rights basically above natural rights. And any pre-Civil War book, you will see the list of rights mentioned, and those rights was always natural rights first, then political rights, then civil rights. And civil rights were at the bottom of the totem pole. It literally was useless rights, and that's basically the way they look at it. Today, look where we're at. Everybody's hollering civil rights. It's the greatest thing to have, civil rights.
Again, they've been taught wrong. Nobody's been taught about their natural rights. You know, I really, you know, used to rail, and, you know, I still do sometimes, about this whole, you know, privilege to drive an automobile, you know, on the highway. You know, it's your God-given right to travel, you know, to get up and go where you want without asking permission. But today, you can't get in your automobile in the conveyance of the day and go on a public right-of-way where it's your right that you paid for to have them build these roads and travel around. No. It's a privilege. Why? Because you're chattel, and they own your car, and they've turned your car into a commercial vehicle. I mean, you know, it's all wordplay, as you've mentioned, and it's all started way back in 1848 when they wrote the Communist Manifesto.
And that principle came over here, you know, for someone that swore they were trying to hold on to a republic form of government, which was Lincoln's own song, You know, look at what happened. It got centralized. How was that an attempt to keep a Republican form of government when you're totally centralizing a government, which the 48ers were all about centralization, and then the 14th Amendment pretty much centralizes. And, you know, two and two is not that hard to put together, whether it's in math or politics.
It's not, but when you hear that music in the background, that means we have to go for another word from our sponsor, Joseph. So hold that thought until we come back. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsor. You're listening to Positively Unconstitutional on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Welcome back to Positively Unconstitutional. And one more time, I want to give you the website of our guest today, Mr. Joseph Rory of republicversusdemocracy.org. And again, that is www.republicvsdemocracy.org. And Joseph, I want to thank you very kindly for your help on the show today and for trying to educate people about, you know, our laws and our criminal insurgent government that's taken over after the Civil War. We're down to about the last 3 or 4 minutes of the show here. So, Joseph, if you would, you know, tell us what you think is the most important things that you've learned historically about the Civil War and how it affects us today.
Well, I look at it that it's been done by military force and by fraud, and that our most important thing to do is to expose this fraud I think the average person, regardless of whether ill-educated or well-educated, nobody appreciates fraud. And when the right information is given to any level of intellectual people, they can process fraud and they can act generally right against fraud. So I'm looking at, I think that since the government has operated on fraud and on the power of the military, that a matter of exposing this will and should bring the people finally to react better than what they've been reacting, and that's because they're not getting exposed to. I believe that if we could get them exposed to the truth, they'll actually react properly.
Well, I'm not sure that's true, because I think that the people, the sheeple, as I've been calling them all day today, because again, I want to throw out another plug for my friends over at the Voice of the Sheeple on Facebook. I encourage you to go there. You know, the sheeple can be convinced to do just about anything, whether it's good for them or not. All you have to do is package the fraud properly, and they eat it up, they take it hook, line, and sinker. And you can see by the actions of, you know, people out there every day, they will defend our system till the end. You know, I tried to tell a story earlier, you know, one of my high school teammates, I wrote him and told him, you know, you live in a communist nation. Oh, not me. I live in the United States. I vote and I do all these things, you know. And I explained to him, you know, that the second clause of the 14th Amendment says that if you vote, you're in rebellion. You're committing a crime. It's treason. And you have to pay the penalty. You know, and, you know, I try to explain to people, there's a maxim in law. Those who receive the benefits must bear the burdens. And so if you pledge allegiance and if you take any single benefit from the United States, well, they're going to take all your money to give everybody else their benefits. And of course, they keep expanding and expanding and expanding the benefits. So eventually nobody gets any benefits. Everybody just pays and pays and pays on, you know, the previous generation's debt. And, that's the name of the game. Debt slavery. And, you know, this is, in my opinion, why the Civil War was fought. It was to enslave us. It wasn't to free the slaves. And, as you can see, it's worked, you know, to massive effect. So, Joseph, thanks again. And,
thank you.
You have a great day. We're out of time. You've been listening to Positively Unconstitutional on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Todd McGreevy and Common Sense Revisited. Over and out.